We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. So open your Bibles there, but turn over to James, if you would. Turn over to James, if you would. And look at James. I got to find my verse here real quickly here. James chapter 2, I believe it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, first of all. And then look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and I want to show you something here, and I believe it'll help us tremendously tonight as a church, and I believe it'll help us, I think it will help us more than anything else, because I believe this church wants to be blessed. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so tonight I'm going to show you how this church can be blessed. Brother Keaton has a desire to grow. He wants to grow his church, not necessarily numerical, although we understand that when sheep are healthy, they reproduce, right? And we also understand that that's what God wants. He wants us as Christians to reproduce, right? He wants us to go out and win people to Christ. Well, how do we win people to Christ? What's part of it? There's so much that goes into winning someone to Christ. Sometimes it takes years of kindness and love to win a person to Christ. One person. And you wonder how many acts of kindness and love it takes to get, sometimes just one person to get saved. What's the key? What is the key to blessing? First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana is where I went to college and went to church. And the more I think about it, I thought to myself, anything a person needs, they have a plan to fill it. You need food, they got a food pantry. You need a place to stay that night, they got a place to stay that night. You need a shower and a hot bath, you know, they can take care of that. I mean, they've got are you an alcoholic? They've got a rescue mission. Well, they'll help you get dry and sober. I mean, they just love people. Are you deaf? They have an interpreter to sign so you can hear they just love people. Anything you need, they want to help with. And so I want to focus our church on what this whole revival thing is all about tonight. Are you with me? Look at James chapter 1 and look at verse number 27 and listen to what it reads. And let's all stand in honor of the reign of God. We're going to read a couple verses, but we're going to start in James chapter 1 and verse 27. Look what he says here. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. This is a pretty powerful statement here. This is pure religion. This is what James is saying is if you want to really get involved in being a real Christian, this is what you do. Ready? Here's the powerful thing, okay? Go sowing, right? This is it. He's going to say, go sowing, right? Look what he says. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. You know why God blesses churches? You know what type of churches God blesses? Churches who are serious about helping those who cannot help themselves. You know why God blesses Malvern, Arkansas? Because we give so much money away. Oh, my soul. They know. She knows. Because she wrote the check, you know. Hey, here he comes. We talked about him yesterday. Talked about Jerry. He's still coming. He's still asking for meals. He's still, hey, Pastor, you gonna take me to McDonald's? Come on, Pastor, come on. You got to take me to McDonald's, Pastor. Jerry. And Jerry does that all the time. But Jerry can't help himself. Can Jerry help himself? Jerry can't help himself. Jerry is, okay, how do you know who's poor and who's not in America? How do you determine who's poor and who's not? Jerry's poor. We know it. It's obvious. You can tell. Are you with me here? So there's a science to getting God's blessings upon this church right here. One thing I want to find out is how much are you doing to help the poor? What are you doing to help people, to love people, to care. And that's what this lesson is going to focus on a little bit. We're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's read a couple verses there as well. And let me show you what the Bible says. And I believe it'll help us tonight as you seek to be a genuine church, a church that is serious about pure religion. This is going to help us. Look what it says in verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according as he, notice this, purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Look what it says. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every, say those two words, ready? Good work. God is serious about you and I, the Christian, abounding not in some good works, but in every good work, right? And look what he says here. Look what he says here. Verse number 9. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Look at verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, notice this, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. I want to speak tonight on the subject that I spoke on in Sunday school Sunday morning. Amen? Amen. And the subject is the purpose of increase. Why does God increase you, the believer? How will God increase this church? The answer is real simple. The moment you get serious, the moment we get serious about helping those who cannot help themselves. And that's the area of good works. What do we need good works? Why do we need good works? Well, okay, what are good works? That's a question. Raise your hand. What are good works? And what are those good, what are good works? What good works has anyone done here in the past month? Anyone. Doesn't matter to me. You can just say, no bragging. We understand that. I'm asking. Give me one good work that someone did. Anything. Doesn't matter. You bought some groceries for someone, right? That's a good work. And the reason you bought those groceries is because they had a need, right? And you helped them with that need. That's a good work. Kindness is a good work. Being kind to someone. Okay, so let's look at this tonight, and I think it'll help us tremendously as we seek as a church to be the type of church God wants us to be and to enjoy revival as a church, revived, serious about doing something for God. Father, bless us tonight. Help me, Holy Spirit of God, to teach, preach what you want me to tonight. I don't necessarily like doing this because I feel like I'm just doing the same thing I already did. But I feel like you have something you want us to understand, and I believe it will help us as a whole tonight. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Notice in verse number 7, Paul is talking about purpose. On Sunday morning, I went back in chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we went down through chapter 8. Look with me, if you will, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm going to show you a couple things because I want you to understand that chapter 8 and chapter 9 are talking about, listen to this now, talking about giving money. Chapter 8 and chapter 9. And it's a special type of giving. It's what we call alms giving. There are four types of giving in the Bible. First of all, there's tithing. Secondly, there is giving to missions. Thirdly, there is building fund. All of these you'll find in the Bible. And lastly, there is what the Bible calls almsgiving. You say, what is almsgiving? That's others. Okay? Our church participates in all four of those areas of giving. We have a building banquet that we give to. We have missions conference that we commit to giving to. We have our tithe in the services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that we give to. And then we have special offerings. When we find out someone with a need, we'll come to our church and we'll say, hey folks, so-and-so has a need. We have done that how many times this summer where we came to the church and said, hey, so-and-so has a need. We had a preacher friend who lost his wife. She passed away just a few weeks ago. We sent him $500. We have another man who lost another lady. Reggie Pate passed away. Did you know that? Reggie Pate. He passed away. He was a singer evangelist. Did we send him that money yet? Okay. We're planning on sending him some money. We have a lady in our church. Her husband passed away. She had no insurance, no burial insurance at the time. She didn't know what she was going to do. A very stressful situation. And our church took an offering up for her and gave her a substantial amount of money to help her and her family out and get through the funeral and all kind of stuff. And praise God, then the company that he worked for paid for his funeral. And that was just a blessing to help her get through the next few months and figure out. But let me just say this. Our church is serious about helping people. It's serious about helping people. It's serious about helping others. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he talks about almsgiving. He's going through here and he mentions it. And I'll just read so I can prove it to you. Look at verse number 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look what he says. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift. Verse 5, down in the middle there. But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. As you continue reading this, you find out that there was an offering that Paul had started taking up a year ago. It was not complete. He sent some of the brethren to go and to collect that offering. Titus and a couple of the brothers to go and collect that offering and to help them to do what was set in order a year ago and to finish that offering. And the offering, the purpose of the offering was to help people in Jerusalem, Christians, brothers in Christ, who had a need. And as he touches this offering, this subject of offering, he reminds them that one of the reasons we give is because there's going to come a time where you need someone to give to you. And he says, obviously, we just read it, he that soweth sparingly, let's read it here so I don't mess it up. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. There's a purpose to which we give. And may I say, we purpose in our heart how to give. Who knows exactly what you're supposed to give? It's between you and God. And I understand that. Brother Wayne Scott understands that. But may I say, there is a reason with which we give. There is a purpose to which we give. Notice what it says in verse number 8 there, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. He says in verse number 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The whole purpose and the whole reason that Christ wants us to give is so that we can abound in the area of good works. It's exactly what you just said. You were a perfect illustration. Because the work that you did involved you spending your own money for groceries to help someone else. That is abounding in good works. Abounding. But he doesn't want us to abound in just some of those good works. He wants us to abound in every good work. God has the ability to make sufficient need supply for us. He has the ability when we give to give it back to us. There are times, have you ever been there, where you gave something that you didn't have to give and you gave it and you were wondering, how am I going to survive? And God soon gave it right back to you. Why? Because he has that ability. He sees what you're doing. He knows what's going on. God is concerned about our good works. He's interested in that. Say, what are good works? Good works are loving our neighbors. Remember, there's two commandments in the Bible. Jesus Christ said all the law and all the commandments that Moses gave hang on two commandments. And those commandments are these: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. Number two, love thy neighbor as thyself. He said if you'll do these two commandments, you won't have to worry about any other commandment, because all commandments fall under these two headings. Love God, love man. It's that simple. Look at verse number 9. Look what he says here. Verse number 9, he quotes the Old Testament. He quotes the Psalms. He says in verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. You say, what righteousness? The righteousness that came as the result of giving to the poor. The righteousness that came as a result of dispersing abroad. The word disperse, you say, what does it mean? It means to be liberal in the area of your giving. And so when you go back to Psalms 112, verse number 9, this is what he says. And when you study the entire chapter, Psalms 112, verse number 1 through 15, something like that, whatever it is, when you study it abroad, it talks about this good man who is consumed with doing good works, who is serious about helping people, and it gives us a few things about this good man that he does that obviously makes the psalmist say he's a good man. Listen to what it says. He says he guides his affairs with discretion. He guides his affairs with discretion. A man who guides his affairs with discretion, what is he talking about? When he says he guides his affairs with discretion, what do you think he's saying? What do you think he's talking about when he says he guides his affairs with discretion? Okay, anybody else? He's wise about his money. He guides his affairs. That word affairs is talking about financial income. He guides his affairs. So he watches his fare. He guides his affairs with discretion. This is who a good man is. You know why people can't give? Debt. We're literally spinning our wheels, barely staying alive to give, to make it in our own life, to pay what debt we incurred. Is that right? Maybe. Have you ever wanted to give but couldn't? Look, all of us have. I think all of us have been there. I wish I could give. I wish I could help. But sometimes we're in so much debt, we can't afford to give. Okay? And so it hinders us. Debt is a strapping. We've had some debt-free seminars at our church, because we want to get our people out of debt. So number one, he guides his affairs with discretion. Number two, he does not fear evil tidings. Evil tidings he's not worried about an evil tiding. Why? Because he guided his affairs with discretion, evil tidings don't bother him as much. Huh? Hey, when you have money and your car breaks down, does it bother you as much? It bothers you when you don't have money, right? It's stressful when you don't have money and the air conditioning unit at your house falls apart, right? That's when it's stressful, right? But when you got plenty of money, maybe you just got your tax return, and it's in the bank, and you're like, okay, man, I'm going to spend this thing, and something breaks, and you're like, oh, man, I got to spend it now. But hey, got the money, and we're praising Jesus, right? Evil tidings, the man that guides his affairs with discretion, evil tidings don't bother. It doesn't bother him. He's like, okay, well, we'll just have to. Do you know that's the way God wants us all to live? Do you know the world sees our stress oftentimes more than our Christ? Huh? And they look at us and they go, they got stress too. What's different about them than me? If we were happy-go-lucky because we weren't in debt and we were walking in, man, we're like, man, God is good. And we were praising God all the time. And man, we had our car broke down. Man, car broke down. And praise God, I went and got it fixed. And they're like, your car broke down. And you're still praising God. Well, I had the money to go fix it. So, that's rains on the just, rains on the unjust, right? But you know what our attitude is most of the time? Sheesh. Oh, man. God, I thought you were. Have you ever said to God, I thought you were going to protect him? And he's going, well, I would if you wouldn't have bit off so much debt and placed yourself in a position where I could not protect you from yourself. Huh? I hate to tell you this, but if this church is going to grow, they got to get out of debt. How many want this church to grow? How many want this church to grow? Okay, put your hands down. Are you sure? Okay, let me ask you another question. How much do you want to give to help it grow? Well, I can't. I know. I know you can't. Right? So my mom moves to Malvern, and I told you this Sunday morning. She got a second job so she could give to our building fund. The last year at our church, last year she was alive. Last year she was alive and able to give, able to work that job. There were 6 months that she lived with us before she passed away. But the year before she, the last year she died, she made about $27,000. She gave $14,000 to the church. This church can't grow unless you have people who are willing to sacrifice. Listen, ready church? Ready church? Here we go. And it starts with you. Everything, he knows what I'm going to say, because I've said it 1,000 times. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Now, I'm not ripping him, but I'm teaching you by making him an example. Does that make sense? Listen to me. He already knows this. And the only reason I can pick on him is because he sacrificed at our church. So I already know the type of pastor you have. Does that make sense? Amen. He's a sacrificer. I already know he's going to do his job. That's why I'm picking on him. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I already know. I don't have to question it. The question is, how about the church? Are they going to move up and say, hey, you know what? We'll sacrifice too. When we moved into 84 Lumber, we were averaging about 150 in church. Not too much bigger than this church. Not too much bigger. Do we live in a welfare community? I'm just telling you. We live in a welfare community. We had four people who gave $10,000 to the building fund. That, not their tithes. Four families alone gave $10,000. My mom was one of those that gave $5,000, I think. Sacrifice. Got an extra job. Why? She understood the purpose to which God created her. Listen, church, if we're going to go forward, and let me just tell you this. Let me just help you understand something. You are going to go forward. I see it. I've been here three times. I'm just telling you. The only thing that can stop you is you. But if you keep following the leader, I'm just telling you, you will not be able to stay in this building right here. You won't. And the only reason I say this is because he knows. Are you with me here? You have to build a new building. Find some land. You're looking for land? You better be looking for land. Did you hear what he said? It means he's got vision. You're not going to be able to stay here and grow. Right. Don't get attached to a building. Amen. Not if you want to see God's blessings. Good. Not if you see people get saved. Look around. Look at the kids and the children in this church. I'm just telling you. What does that have to do with the message? Absolutely nothing. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
It's good.
He guides his fair with discretion. He does not fear evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting on the Lord. Listen to this now. He has given to the poor. This is Psalms 112. I'm not going there because I don't have time, but I just want you to know what Psalms 112 says about a good man. He's given to the poor. What does it say about a good man? He says he's a righteous man. He's interested in living righteously. He's interested. And let me just say, I see some men and some ladies here who are serious about righteousness. You say, how do you know? I just listened to you talk. I've heard you talk, and I've listened to you. And I see a bunch of people who are out on Monday night at revival after some of you working all day and you're exhausted, but you're here tonight. You know what that means? It means you're serious about God. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. I'm just telling you, pretty awesome. What am I saying? You're heading the right direction, church. You're heading the right direction. Making the right moves. Doing the right things. So let me give you some thoughts here. Look at this. Now, God has provided. This is, and let me say, when I got done teaching Sunday school, Brother Keaton got up and he added something to my lesson. And I was like, whoa, Shazam. I should have that in there. That should have been in there. Brother Keaton got up and taught another point to my lesson. Amen? I hate it when guys do that. And almost every time I teach something, someone comes up to there and goes, you know, you should add this. I'm like, that's a good verse. I should put that in there. You know, it's always happening to me. You know, someone's adding a point to it. But I said to Brother Keaton, I said, that's good. I'm going to go ahead and put, and you know, as I was reworking this lesson, and I was supposed to be this morning working on our leadership retreat, which is nothing like being late. supposed to be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And I was supposed to be working on leadership retreat lessons, and I got this thing all done, and the Lord said, that's your lesson right there. I was like, oh, with his point in it. Are you with me here? So let me note, this is his point right here. And I'm not going to say it the way he would say it, so don't correct me after the service. Okay? But listen to what this says here. Go back to verse number 10 now. This is the crux of the entire lesson. Verse number 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, notice this, both minister bread for your food. Listen to this now. God has already provided you the seed for your food. And that is exactly what he said he would do, right? Matter of fact, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Right? So if I have food, which I did have food today, and it was phenomenal, and I have raiment, clothing. I don't know if the church knows, but Brother Keaton, can I say that? Brother Keaton and you all, the church here, bought me a suit today. Amen. And I thank you for that. So I have food and I have raiment. And the Bible says, this is God speaking, when I give you food and I give you raiment, you're supposed to be content with that right there. Let me ask you a question. How many of you had food today? Would you raise your hand? Okay. I don't have to ask about the clothing because I notice you are dressed. So with what we already knowingly sitting here today possess, we are to be content, right? So why does God increase us? Why does God give us more? Why does God give us more than we need? Anybody here had a savings account? 401k? Anybody here investing in some areas? I have some rental property in Malvern, Arkansas. I'm investing. I have rental property. Did he tell you? Who am I? Who's John Horton? I have some rental. I'm investing. I'm investing in her future. I'm commanded to take care of her. Okay. Our church didn't have a retirement fund until this year. we got a retirement fund this year. Been there 15 years, and I praise God for it. I'm very thankful for it, but I also understand that 15 years, I plan to be there 30 years at our church. 15 years of retirement is not going to be a whole lot, right? So a couple years ago, I began planning. I need to probably get some rental property and just begin to invest in her. When I croak, she can sell those things and live on the money, right? Okay, so I'm planning. I'm thinking of her, okay? But also with that increase, I can do something else. Right? So with food and raiment, we know here today, God's already provided us with food and raiment. So we're supposed to be content right here, right now. So how many of you, God has given you more than just food and just raiment? Let me just see. How many of you say, yeah, God's given me more than food and raiment? Would you raise your hand? Look around. Every hand in here is raised. What is the purpose of increase? He tells us right there. tells us this is good stuff. Think about this. Verse number 10, this is what it says. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, notice this, and multiply your seed sown. So it even tells us here that he gives you seed for bread, and then he multiplies that seed, okay? And what could we consider the seed? What could we say seed is? What can we?
Money.
Exactly, right? So multiply that seed. Could we say multiply our money, right? Because in our time, in our day and age, we need money to buy food and clothes and food, right? Isn't that right? Okay. So when he says he multiplies the seed, he's talking about money there. So he gives you food. He provides the seed for that. And with that, we're to be content. Then he multiplies that seed for what reason? He tells us right in that verse. Listen to what it says. I got to go back up here. Listen to what it says here. And increase the fruits of your righteousness. So what's the purpose of food? What's the purpose of increase? The purpose of increase is so that you and I can increase our righteous deeds. The reason God gave you extra money is so that you can go to heaven and you know you've done with that money what God wants you to do, and that is to increase your works in righteousness. Now, we just said, we already defined what works were, good works were, didn't we? Right over here. I said, what are good works? And she, and what was your name?
Tony.
Tony said, well, I went and I bought some food for a family, and we all agree that's a good work. Is that right? Okay. The reason God increased her money is to do exactly what she just did. And when you did, you're okay with me being an example? Okay. So here, Tony has increased the fruit of her righteousness. By how? Taking the increase that God gave her and buying food for someone who was in need. Is that good or what? Huh? Ministering seed to the sower. Who is it that gives increase?
God,
right? We all understand that. And I got a bunch of stuff here. I could go into it. I'm going to skip some of this stuff. And I'll get to something I want to get to here. According to CNN, $1 billion, listen to this now, could feed 1 million children for 70, $1 billion could feed 1 million children for 70 years. Get this in your head, $1 billion could feed 1 million children for 70 years. Anybody know how many starving people are in the world today? Anybody have a figure? 800 million people are starving today. 800 million people. Are you with me here? 800 million people. Do you realize that today we produce, food-wise, 17 more calories per person than we did 30 years ago? Despite a 70% growth in our population. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Do you understand the ramifications of what I just said? We are producing more food now than we have ever produced in the history of the world. We have more people on earth than we have ever had in the history of the world. And we could feed them if we wanted to. Huh? Bill Gates is worth $80 billion. Warren Buffett is worth $76 billion. Mark Zuckerman, is that how you say it? Mark Zuckerman is worth $35 billion. And those are 2013 statistics. Oprah Winfrey. I think she's up in the $6 or $7 billion. Do you realize we could stomp out hunger just like that if we wanted to? Increase is not for us to amass huge amounts of wealth. God did not give Bill Gates $80 billion. Do you know how much Warren Buffett gave of his money that same year? 3%. And he, of all the multi-rich, he gave the most. 3%. Most of the people in your church right here, right now, give more than 3%. So check this out. Check this out. You give more than the richest people on the planet. I said before, my mother, the year she died, she gave 30% of her income to the church. I have a single lady. Be shocked if I tell you. You want to know? Melissa Matthews. 30% of her income. Listen to this. No, hold on. Listen. She works at a gas station. Victoria Hall, our pianist at our church. I know what she makes. She makes $15,000 a year. Now, we provide her housing and her utilities and all. We pay for all that kind of stuff. She's in the ministry. She makes $15,000, single lady, makes $15,000 a year. She gave $6,500 last year to the church. Are you with me here? Say, why are you telling us this? I want to open your eyes to sacrifice, to what it's going to take if you want to change Waterloo, Iowa. That's what's going to have to happen. Someone's going to have to say, I could give more. Now, this is not a message about the offering. This is not a message about giving. But I want to prepare you for the future. If we're going to do something big, someone's going to have to say, you know what? That's why God gave me this money to increase. Are you following me here tonight? So I've got four statements. I'm done. What time is it? I'm already over time. Number one, God has provided seed to mankind for the purpose of producing bread to feed us and to place clothing on our backs. Number two, God multiplies the seed and increases our fruits in order for us to increase our good works in our community. The reason God gives you extra money is to increase your works in your community. That's the whole reason He gives you increase. He wants you to help those people in your community. What if this was the church that, you know, in Malvern, Arkansas, guess where everybody comes? To get help. As a matter of fact, be honest with you, I have a bad attitude about sometimes. Sometimes I get irritated. Because you know where they come? They come to... A great location is good. It is bad. You know what the motel desk say? We have five motels in our town. Three of them are right next to us. Four of them are right around our church. The front desk people, you know what they tell them when someone comes in and say they need a room but they don't have any money? You know what they tell them? They said, go to Gospel Baptist Church. They'll probably help you. That's what they tell them all the time. Now, we don't help with motel rooms. But that's what they tell them because they know we're giving people. We'll give them food. We'll help them with stuff. We'll give them gas money. But they tell them, go see Gospel Baptist Church because those people help people. You know what our town needs? Our town needs a place, and this is my aha moment. Our town needs a homeless shelter in Malvern, Arkansas. We don't have one. And I'm sitting here going, the Lord's been working on my heart about it for a year. I'm like, man, I need to start a homeless shelter. Say, why? The poor. Back to our verse. What is it? James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled is to visit. You know what that word visit means? It's not to say hi. It's to help. I wrote my word on my other notes, and I don't have it here. But pure religion, it simply means it's a financial implication. It is, you need to help this person, not just go by and say hi to them. That's where we're at tonight. With all, if everything in my soul, I believe this church right here, the next step is for us to get outside of ourselves and not just soul winning, because that's good, okay, but good works. I got a phone call from a lady in our church. Her name is Ms. Kim. Let me give you the last point. God increases our good works for His glory. You know why God increases our money? For His glory and praise. Because when you give, guess who gets the credit? Not you. God. Got a lady in our church. She called me up. She said, "Hey, Miss Margaret Davenport needs help. She doesn't have any food. She needs help. Can you take a box of food by her?" She's a member of our church, a black lady that we love dearly. And she's hunched over, and she comes in. She's taking care of her great-granddaughter is living with her. Great-granddaughter living with her. And she walks in. She goes, hey, Reverend, how you doing, Reverend? And I hug her, you know, and she's just a sweet little old lady. I said, "She needs food." I was like, "Yeah, we made two huge boxes of food, and we stopped by her." When we got to the door, she began to weep uncontrollably for the boxes of food. Her house, it was 105 degrees inside of the house. It was 100 degrees outside of the house. She had no air conditioning unit. I dropped the boxes off. She had a little fan going on. I said, man, she began to cry. "Oh, Lord, thank you so much. I don't know how to feed my..." She just kept crying. I couldn't even understand her. I said, Miss Margaret, I said, "You need an air conditioner in here." She goes, "Oh, bro, just maybe a fan. If you can get me another fan, that'd be good." I said, "You need an air conditioner." Set the food down. Were you with me the first time? We went into the kitchen. There were roaches everywhere. All over the place. My wife said, "Look, don't put the food on top. Make sure you set it somewhere where you don't see any roaches." And so we were trying to position the food where there's no... And I said, "Miss Margaret, I said, there's roaches. Have you told the landlord?" She goes, "Oh, I told him. He's pastor over at this other..." You know why God's mad at America? We've got preachers who don't even care about people. We left. She was so thankful. She's just crying. We left. We went straight to Walmart and we bought her more food. And I'm not praising us. I just want to give you an illustration of what happens when you get out of your box to help someone else. We went and bought her more food. Then we went to buy her an air conditioning unit. Went to Walmart, they didn't have them. Went to Sears, I haggled them down. I go to Sears all the time. I'm like, "How much you give me this air conditioner?" He said, "It's for a little old lady who doesn't have any air. Come on, man, you got to get it down, man. Give me the price. Come on, give me a good price." You know, and he started telling me. Finally, we bought the AC unit. We took it back to her house. We installed it. She's just weeping. She couldn't stop crying. Saturday morning, I'm driving here. Miss Kim, the lady who told us about the food, she said, "I walked into..." And by the way, after I put the air conditioner in, I went back to my house and got the roach spray, went back and I sprayed the whole house for roaches. It's about loving people, folks. It's about loving people. Hooked the air conditioner up, got the roaches somewhat killed. I'll have to go back and spray again. Miss Kim texted us on the way here and she goes, "Miss Margaret has not stopped praising God for what you guys did for the air conditioner you bought her. Thank you, Brother Horton." This is the bus worker on the bus route who goes and visits Miss Margaret. "Thank you, Brother Horton, for caring for Miss Margaret." I didn't get the praise. Miss Margaret wasn't praising me. Miss Margaret hasn't called me one time. She's praising God. God got the credit. And that's where we need to get tonight.